I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr is here with us. Father Murr, welcome again to join us on this Friday.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. We have a great show because we have some good news stories that should inspire people. We also are going to talk about Fulton Sheen's timely insights on today's America that he mentioned back in the 1960s. You'll think he was living right now. We're also going to talk about a noted environmentalist apologizing for the climate scare. Yeah. I mean, you know, science is not definite on this issue, and we want to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about Cardinal Zen. He's really concerned about the souls in China and how this new agreement that's been made is just, it's like he calls it about the murder of the Chinese church. So we want to talk about that. And then the last segment, we want to talk about the precious blood of Jesus. This is the month of July. We've been pushing that. Why? Because, hey, you know, without the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ and Holy Communion, you ain't going to get to heaven, because Jesus said that in John 6. Unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. That's not me. That's not Father Murr. That's what the Bible says. But Father Murr, before we get into that, we love to start with our soul food in the sense of the Bible. The Gospel of Matthew for today's Mass is very, very striking. And man, I'll tell you what, very to the point. So, Father Murr, if you have the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10 in front of you, verse 16 to 23?
Right in front of me.
Perfect. Well, when you read the Gospel, I really enjoy that because you read it with such devotion. Would you please share that Gospel with us?
Certainly be glad to. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Yep.
Jesus said to his apostles, "Behold, I am sending you like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and simple as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to courts and scourge you in their synagogues, and you will be led before governors and kings for my sake, as a witness before them, before them and the pagans. When they hand you over, do not worry about what you are to speak or what you are to say. You will be given that at the moment, you will be given that moment what you are to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will hand over brother to death, and father, the father his child. Children will rise up against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But whoever endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to another. Amen, I say to you, you will not finish the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Father. Tell us what's going on here.
Well, I think when we get into Sheen's expose from the 1960s, this gospel, this gospel is what Sheen was talking about. It's beautiful. I think the line that I like most in this gospel, every line is beautiful, but it's to be as some of the translations are better than others, as cunning as the serpent.
Wow.
In other words, to be as sharp as the devil himself.
Right? I love that.
That's what he's saying. That's the serpent that he's talking about. He's not just talking about a gardener snake, right?
Right.
All right. Not any ordinary gardener snake. Garden Snake, he's talking about the serpent, to be as sharp as he himself in calculating things, yet as gentle as doves. That's really where the Christian is all of the time, or supposed to be, between those two things. When you're in business with someone, when you're doing business with someone, when you're dealing with people you don't know, you've got to be sharp. You've got to be sharp. Be keenly aware of what's happening. But at the same time, they have to know through your attitude that you're a Christian. That has to come through. Even when you're doing business, when you're doing anything, dealing with any of the problems during the day, be sharp. In other words, don't be fools and don't be fooled by anyone. Be sharp. Be up to your game. But at the same time, be Christians. Let them know that you're Christians. Be as sharp, as cunning, as serpents, and as docile and gentle as doves. That's quite an order to fulfill every day. It's not easy. Sometimes we lose our patience, et cetera. But to balance those two things out is really the way to get through life. It really is. Yeah. Otherwise, we're losing. We're losing out. And Christ is telling us, be sharp, beware. There are enemies out there. Don't be foolish. And he says before that, I'm sending you like sheep among wolves. Do you understand that?
Absolutely. I feel it right now, very much so.
Yeah, yeah. It's a, you know, get ready, get ready. And in another gospel, he says, and remember, in the back of your mind, keep this. If they hate you, remember that they hated me before you.
Oh, yeah.
All right? Okay. Yeah, I think that's what I would say about that.
Well, good, Father, because I don't know if you remember the story. There was what you just said about, remember, they're hating you because of our Lord. I'll never forget reading in a book from a Swiss guard in the Vatican. He was talking about 1980s when Pope Benedict XVI went to Germany. And if you remember back then, the German church has been crazy for a long time. Well, when the Pope came, they didn't like him at all. They wouldn't even shake his hand and all that. And
I remember that.
Yeah, of course. It was horrible. But, you know, look at Germany right now. They're not, in my humble opinion, they're not even part of the church because of what they're doing there.
Harry, let me just jump in with one thing. Yeah. You said they wouldn't shake his hand. I think that your listeners should realize that you're talking about some of the bishops.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should say that. Thank you. We're talking about when he got off the plane and you have the dignitaries and the bishops there, they turn their back to the Pope. This is why the German church is in its situation today. So that's just my take on it. But when he came back, he says, they weren't upset at me, those people who are upset at me. They're upset because of what I teach is what Jesus Christ teaches. That's the only point. So when we get persecuted for doing the right thing, don't take it personal, Terry, which I don't. I have no problem with that. That's what happens when you preach Christ and him crucified. But, Father, thanks for that commentary. I want to give some good news stories, and then we'll get into Fulton Sheen. I got a good news story. The Ohio's oldest abortion clinic, founded shortly right after Roe versus Wade in 1973, it's closed after 47 years. Praise God. I would say that's great news for the unborn especially, but for everyone to have something like that closed. Now, Father Murr, there's another great story here, good news story. And as a priest, I want to get your response to this. As thousands of Catholics rally behind a Louisiana Catholic priest who criticized the LGBT Pride celebration. Now, let me set the record here. What was happening is this priest was criticizing the New Orleans Saints, football team, for celebrating the gay rights movement, and had launched a petition in his defense after a separate petition calling for his removal. So people were upset at first that he would not go along with it. His name is Father Andrew Magin. He's the parish priest of Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church in Louisiana. And I just want to say thank you, Father, because there's a post by the parish attracted more than 500 comments. And the point of it is he's getting support rather than being yelled at, or even his bishop saying, don't be so hard on those guys, be nice to them. All I'm saying, Father, you're a priest for almost 50 years. I know that that has happened to you where you've made a right call and not necessarily got the support of the lay people or even your bishop. So what do you think of this story?
I think it's fantastic. I think it's very, very good. And it also shows the spirit of the times that we're living in, where unfortunately, bishop or bishops who are supposed to be guiding, who are supposed to be watching the truth and faithful to the truth of things, to go along and get along would rather say nothing. And who are supporting these priests? The Catholic laity.
Of course.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something.
Tell me.
This means more. This actually means more to a good priest than his own bishop patting him on the head.
Is that right? I could see that. I really could. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Sure.
Father Murr, we're gonna talk about Fulton Sheen when we come back, but I also want to remind everybody here, if you're in Southern California at our chapel, we pray the rosary after the 9 a.m. Mass on Sundays here, the Anglican Ordinariate, very reverent Mass. We can receive Holy Communion on the tongue and kneeling down, and I'd love to have you come. We pray the rosary for the country after the Mass. Also, this Saturday, July 18th, out at in Covina, there's going to be a rosary potluck out in the public, again, praying for our country. And this is put out by the Catholic Men's Fellowship. Again, men, lay men and women, going out and praying the rosary. We think it's a good idea. How about you? Also, when we come back, Fulton Sheen's timely insights on today's America. Oh, wait till you hear this. Full Sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And thanks again for all your support for Virgin Most Powerful. We got new shows coming on with Bishop Strickland on Tuesdays now from Tyler, Texas. And we got a doctor coming on in 2 weeks. We'll tell you more about that when we come back from the break. This is Terry Barber, Father Charles Murr. We're filling in for Jesse here. We'll be back with more. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse will be in Pomona at St. Madeline's Church tomorrow. If you want to check that out by going to jesseromero.com, we'd love to have you come. I'm going to be there also in the morning. Hey, I just want to thank all our new listeners. A couple things. We got new stations coming on. We also have about 1,000 new YouTube listeners every single week growing our apostolate. And if you're new, I just want to welcome you. And just remember, you can check out all of our shows on YouTube or on the local stations that you're listening. And please like us so that that will continue to grow. And that's what we're doing because we have one purpose here. I always say it, we help you get to heaven. That's it. Because life is short and eternity is forever. Father Murr, I was talking about Fulton Sheen with you, and you have a great love like I do for Fulton Sheen. You grew up watching him as a little boy, I think. And I sent this article from the National Catholic Register called Fulton Sheen's Timely Insights on Today's America. And as we've seen Bishop Sheen, you know, most of us know he's prophetic about a lot of the problems he foresaw years before they ever came over the horizon. I mean, I'll just give you one quote of something that would give us something when he says, here's a quote that's so appropriate. He says, the refusal to take sides on a great moral issue is itself a decision. It is a silent acquiescence to evil. And here's what he says about our culture right now. The tragedy of our time is that those who still believe in honesty lack fire and conviction, while those who believe in dishonesty are full of passionate conviction. That's the kind of stuff that Sheen said 60, 70 years ago. And I'm going, really? That's appropriate now. So this is an article, and this was referring to his TV broadcast over a century ago in the 1960s when all the revolution things that were going on back then. Father, you remember you were a young man. You were going to school when that all happened. He said this, our nation is too full of those who are crying down, down with the schools, down with the churches, down with the teachers, down with the government, down with the police. Does that sound like today? Can you build anything down? You cannot, Archbishop Sheen exclaimed to his TV audience about America during his popular TV show in the mid-1960s. Go ahead, Father. I want you to give that comment because you were I was just a little boy, but you saw what was going on in the 60s as a young man. So I'm all ears.
I thought it was first of all, what was going on in the 60s, you have to understand where we were coming from the 50s. I was born in 1950,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
I'm an old man already. So I get both of those worlds. I'm not saying that the 50s were idyllic.
Right.
However, when I look back at them, I can't think of anything that was too wrong with them.
Yeah, it
was, you know, it certainly seemed like a wonderful way to grow up,
mm-hmm.
to be raised. The education, everything else, everything was good. It was good. All of a sudden, the 60s came in, and it hit it came on the scene with an explosion,
mm-hmm.
which tells you right off what. What does that tell you? What it's telling you is that those 50s that I just said seemed idyllic weren't. They weren't.
Right.
There was something already brewing. There was something already brewing during those times. Just like we're talking about people will blame the Vatican, the Second Vatican Council for all the problems. Mm-hmm. No, there was something happening beforehand.
Absolutely.
That let that happen, let that explosion, right?
Yep.
Now, Sheen, another thing, a great thing about Sheen is that he was European educated. Now, why is that important? Since he's talking about the United States and he's talking about American, mm-hmm. the American scene right now during the 60s,
right.
Why is that important? Because the Europeans, this is my take on it, understood, maybe they don't understand as much today, but they understood then the French Revolution and the effects of the French Revolution on their world, The French Revolution wasn't just a footnote in history. It was major.
Right.
It shook up everything. It turned everything on its head, just upside down. From that came Marxism.
Yep.
From Marxism came socialism, communism, we go on.
Mm-hmm.
That's where things went wrong. That's where they began. Sheen knows that.
Yes, he
does.
This
is what he's writing about.
Right.
And he's also Bishop Sheen is seeing that in the United States of America, his homeland, the place that he loves, and he loved America, he really truly did, with all his heart, and was dedicated to helping and to saving America. He was seeing what was seeping in, and I think the word "seeping" is a good one because that's how it infiltrated. These were revolutionary ideas. I just read something by, I don't know, do you know Jordan Peterson?
Of course I do. I've watched a lot of videos.
He's
books.
Pretty great. Great guy. Sure. Pretty great. He's 97%.
There you go.
I disagree with about 3%.
Yeah.
But he said something that I thought was beautiful. He quoted George Orwell, the writer of Animal Farm in 1984.
Yep.
It's saying this. He said, let me put it correctly. He said it's not so much the left's love of the poor as much as it is their hatred of the rich.
Yep.
That inspires them. Okay.
Well said.
So what are we getting down to? We're getting down to class warfare. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is it goes right down. It goes right back to the deadly sins, envy and jealousy.
Yep.
This is exactly what it is, and this is what Marxism and so many of the errors stemming from the French Revolution when they were institutionalized are coming from. They took that hatred, that jealousy, in the classes and destroyed the upper class. Right, well, we saw how that worked out, and we see how it works out all over the place. In Marxism, we saw how it works out. When you lose track of how many tens of millions of people were killed under Marxist systems, when you lose track of the tens of millions, there's something wrong with the system. And it happened everywhere. Yep. Everywhere it was tried, in Russia, in China, in Cuba, in Venezuela, everywhere tried.
Devastating.
Now, what Sheen is looking at is the beginning of this happening in the United States of America. And it frightens him, and it frightened anybody who really was concerned and loved America in 1968. I would put the famous Summer of Love that happened here in San Francisco, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about that 1968.
Right.
When that came on the scene, people like Fulton J. Sheen already knew it. They knew its name.
Wow.
They saw what was happening. They knew its name. Sheen knew its name before the people who are participating in it actively knew what was going on.
Right.
They didn't know its name. He knew its name. Amazing. Because he was, you either know history or you're doomed to repeat it.
That's right?
This is the maxim, and it's true. That's what he was concerned about. And he already saw what communism, Marxism brings about in Russia and in China. He was already seeing that. He didn't want his country to go the same way. Now, you said something, Terry, I think it was a great observation right at the beginning. You said, this could be written today.
That's right.
It certainly could, because it's the same. It's the same scene.
Right, same issues.
Same scene playing over and over and over. It never dies. It never dies. Gene saw this and had the determination and the strength to call it for what it was.
And you know, Father, he said this clearly 50 years ago. He said in his Quo Vadis America, he said, America, where are you going? Where are you going in this day and age? Sheen asked, what is patriotism? He says, patriotism is a virtue that was allied to the old virtue of the Greeks, and Latin called it pietas, meaning love of God,
pietas,
love of God and love of neighbor, love of country. And when one goes out, all go out. See, this is interesting. When we no longer love God, he paused. I can picture this. We no longer have a love of country. Well said, Bishop. He said this at the time when the churches were still fairly full, Father, and when most Catholics still took their Sunday obligations seriously. But Sheen went on. He examined particularly today the problem of revolution. And this is what you just alluded to earlier in the show. He started out our country with a revolution. Yeah, a revolution is in the air today, Sheen said. Do we live in America in a revolutionary tradition? Certainly. But the question is, here it comes, cash value, what kind of revolution should we have? There are two kinds. One, the kind we start with, and the other, the kind we have today. He said the American Revolution was about governing ourselves, he said. What's the revolution of today? What is its nature? He asked again. Violence, violence, just for the sake of violence. I mean, this new type of revolt which invokes destruction of everything that is in the past. Tear down the statues, the saints, sinners, present, remove all history. What did you say about history? If you're going to repeat it, Father, would you repeat that again?
If you don't learn by it, you're doomed to repeat it.
You got it. That's a message for us today. Go ahead, Father.
Well, you hit another point that's very good. I mean, this is full of very, very, very explosive material and great material. Violence, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if I said it on another show, but we were talking also with a group of friends about the importance of law in civilization.
Right.
From the Magna Carta.
Yes.
People don't look at it this way, but this is really what happened when we're because we have such, I guess, sort of a universal dislike. Shall I use the word dislike rather than hatred of lawyers?
Yeah.
Anyway, we kind of dislike them, right? Except when we need one, you know. Then we love our lawyer. We have the best in the
world.
That's
right.
Anyway, but the idea of law is really philosophically, culturally important, because what law does, it's saying to human beings, men and women who are rational, let's sit down and discuss this, and let's put together a code of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where is that code of behavior based? On what is that based? Well, in our society, from the Magna Carta, that code of behavior is based on a Judeo-Christian, and especially Christian, philosophy of being. It's trying to codify, if you will, what Christ taught. Right. Let's put this into practice. That's our law. Mm-hmm. If you look at the beginnings of our laws, they're from Scripture. Anyway.
That's right, Father. Hear the music. When we come back, we want to make one more point about this article on Sheen, and then we'll move on to other issues. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Father Charles Murr's filling in for Jess today. And when you come back, we're going to help you fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and His church. We'll be right back. Don't turn that dial.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need covenant eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to covenanteyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.covenanteyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I like to say I'm too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, I'd be a billionaire because I know the end of the story. Before we get back on this, I get letters all the time, and I don't usually read too many letters to you, to our listeners, but believe it or not, we get a lot of people. This is a typical letter of a guy. He says, his name is Peter in New York. He says, I don't usually listen to Catholic radio in the afternoon while I'm at work, but today I was off schedule and I caught the Terry and Jesse Show. I went back to the website to listen to the rest of the show. Wow! He says, such a bold and helpful message to hear preached in the middle of this foggy, murky mulk of culture that we are submerged in. Keep up the good work, man. Peace of Christ. Well, I say that because I get a lot of those letters from men saying that it's nice to hear men who love the church, who love Jesus and Mary and St. Joseph, and who are not afraid to speak the truth. But I also get a lot of letters that say, you guys are, you know, nuts. I can't believe anybody put you on the radio. But that's okay. I want both people to be listening because then we can have a chat. Also, I want to make sure people know Dr. Louis Sandoval. We've got a new show coming on Thursdays at noon after the Terry and Jesse Show. He is a psychiatrist but works with the Diocese of Orange with the exorcists of that diocese. So he handles a lot of spiritual warfare issues and medical issues, but he's going to be talking on health, and that starts in a week. So keep that in mind, everybody. Father Murr, I just want to make one last comment and then see what your thoughts are, because in this article, they talk about the saintly sheen explaining the difference between the two revolutions and what Jefferson taught us and what we believe and what are the conditions of the preservation of our country and, you know, just what holds exactly the same. So here's what he said. Jefferson founded our democracy upon two principles. One, the dignity of man, Sheen emphasizes. And secondly, I would just simplify it, for all rights and liberties come from us, from God. Jefferson believed that the government must be founded upon respect for the individual, like you said, Father. So he investigated, what are the sources of our rights and liberties? Where do they come from? Where does our right of free speech come from? Or the right to assemble, or any other right? From the federal government? Certainly not. If they came from the federal government could take them away. But Jefferson set down in the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, which we all should read, that is self-evident principle, self-evident that the Creator, Sheen again emphasizes as he pointed a hand and finger dramatically to heaven, the Creator, I can picture that, had endowed man with certain unalienable rights, it's cannot be taken away. That's what that means. Among which are the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is our democracy, Fulton Sheen said. Those are the two principles. Father, you said it also, but it just seems like this needs to be said today in our culture. We have to know where the rights come from. The bigger the government, the smaller the citizen. That's my added on that. What are your thoughts about what Jefferson and what Sheen had to comment on?
Well, before I get into Jefferson and Sheen, let me finish what I was saying the last time just to tie it together.
Sure, let's do it.
Didn't make
I'm
conclusion.
All for it. Yeah.
And the conclusion is this.
Mm-hmm.
Law is a point of civilization.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
It's talking about sitting down and talking, discussing, voting law.
Mm-hmm.
The contrary of law is violence.
Mm.
And this is the problem when people don't want to go through any system that's civilized.
Uh-huh.
They take up violence.
Yeah, like knocking statues down.
This is what happened in 1968.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's happening today.
Yep. Got it.
You've got most of your listeners.
Yes.
I would guess.
Yes.
Are wondering where is law.
Exactly.
They're breaking down statues. They're trampling flags. They're doing this. They're doing that. I've got my order wrong. They're killing people.
Exactly.
People are being killed. Where is law? And we have no police stepping in. We have none of our elected officials are doing anything about it. This is frightening because this is not law. This is not civil. This is not civilized. That's the problem. Now, getting back to what you're asking.
Sure.
You take God out of the equation of civilization.
We're done.
Good luck.
Yeah, we're done.
Good luck.
Yep.
And when you tell me, as the leftists are trying to say today, that my rights come from the state of Missouri, or my rights come from the United States of America, or my rights come from the United Nations, you've got to be kidding. What do I care about all of that? That's nonsense. When you tell me, and when I'm convinced of it, that those rights come from God, that they're God-given,
yes,
that it, God put that in my nature,
yep,
it is my nature to have these rights, then we're dealing with rational people, okay? Because if the state can give me a right, the state can take it away.
Exactly. That's what we said. Yep.
That's it. You know.
Well said.
And where are we? This is where we are today.
Yep.
This is where we are today.
And Father, it's just refreshing. So thank you. And I want people to get that article on our show page or to go to the National Catholic Register because it's a beautiful article. I want to shift gears for our listeners. Oh, I want to also mention, I talked about bringing families together to pray the Holy Rosary. That you can go and visit at CatholicMen.org to get the address. It's right here in Covina, 4444 North Citrus Avenue, Heritage Plaza Park, from 5 o'clock to 6. But I would check. I would go to the CatholicMen.org website because I'm hoping to be there myself. Father Murr, this next story, these next couple stories are kind of short, but they need to be commented on, and that is a noted environmentalist apologizes for the climate scare. This gentleman was a hero in the environmental movement. He's now recanted his earlier views that climate change is an existential threat to the human civilization. His name is Mike Schellenberger. And here's the interesting note about it. I won't read the whole article, but he was long time revered. He wrote books on this topic, made a lot of money on all this for the last 12 years. But now he's saying, wait a minute, I got a new book. Are you ready for the title? Apocalypse Never. And so now he's probably going to make some money on this. But the point of it is, Father, this is a science. And, like, you know, nobody knows. I mean, we have different views on the climate issue, scares. But it's interesting that someone who spent his career telling everybody about this now had a change. And I just want to say thank you for that, because it's easy just to quietly say nothing. But, you know, it reminds me of someone like a gentleman. Oh, I can't think of his name at the top, but it's about education. Philip. Oh, I can't think of his name. I apologize, folks. But he was for Carl Rogers and his Rogerian approach to education.
Coleman.
William Coulson. Right. Thank you, William Coulson. And he spent 40 years of his career corrupting people in education. And the last 25 of years of his life, he went around saying, I was wrong. And he would cry. I recorded his talks. This is the same thing. If you're wrong, you got to be able to say, I'm wrong. So I just think that I want folks to know that there are people that are having second thoughts about this, because the facts are the facts. And I think sometimes people just look at what they feel. This is kind of like the feeling culture. And so that scientist has made a big change. Father Murr, were you a environmentalist at one time, or have you always had a straight talk, you know, in other words, a straight approach to preserving the culture, preserving our earth, but not going overboard? What's your take on that?
Well, I would answer with the title of an encyclical or book by Pope John Paul II, Fides et Ratio.
Oh yeah,
faith and reason.
Together.
Yes, exactly. When I hear a scientist talking, and the scientists, most of them, are not really theists. The ones today, they're not believers,
nope,
right?
That's true.
They're not great believers in God. Let me just put it that way. Not all of them, but many of them. And they keep harping on this, we want science. Mm-hmm. We want science. We want science. Well, that's wonderful. Then give us science. But what I see so often happening, they're not giving us science. They're giving us science. they're bolstering a belief with facts.
Yes.
Some facts. Selected facts.
Got it.
That's not what we're talking about. I forget the author. You sent me the article and I read it. It was very interesting, mm-hmm, about this author who's done a complete turnabout,
yeah,
in his opinion.
Right.
But what he was doing for the longest time was defending, calling it science.
12 years.
Defending a belief.
Yep.
A belief. All right. When we need both belief and science, and it's time to be rational. Well, again, going back to the good old days,
yeah,
I don't know that any of us were abusing. I mean, nobody threw garbage out the window.
Nope.
Nobody destroyed things. Not that I know of. I mean, maybe they did somewhere else, but our idea wasn't to ruin the environment to contaminate. You tried not, polluting our waters and everything else. Did it happen? Yes, it did. And you know when it happened? People were awake to that. They said, just a minute, something's happening, and we don't want our streams polluted. We don't want our rivers polluted. Okay. And immediately there were actions against it.
Absolutely.
But look, just I think that this man did an about face. Is a credit to him.
Yeah.
And you're going to see in the future that more of them are going to do the same thing because that, as Ocasio-Cortez said a couple of years ago,
in 12 years,
it's going to be ended. Yeah. So we just got 10 more years to see if she was right. And I'll bet she's wrong.
I bet too.
I'll bet she's wrong.
You know, Father, when I was growing up, my grandmother, Lebanese, would say, only use what you need, even if you have as much as the ocean. And that was how we lived. Frugality is close to God. So no problem on that, but we don't want to waste it. Hey, Father, I know we're going to be, just a quick note on the election that's coming up. President Trump against Biden, and Biden just came out and he's threatening to restore Obamacare birth control mandate if he's elected. Not only is he wanting to kill unborn babies, he's also wanting to do it through the chemicals, not just physical abortions, but through chemicals. Not the guy to vote for. Hey, when we come back, I want to shift gears. I want to make sure we talk about the effects of the precious blood of Christ. This is the month of July. I'm going to have Father Murrow give a little explanation on devotion to the Eucharist and why it's essential to get to heaven. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Just a quick note, Jesse will be at St. Madeline's Catholic Church in Pomona all day tomorrow. So if you're able to get there, I'm going to be there also to say hi to Jess. Also, we have Holy Mass here at the Sacred Heart Chapel at 5 o'clock. We have confessions at 3 in the afternoon. So if you want to get to confession, go to Holy Mass. We'll pray the rosary after Mass. I'd love to have you there. I'll be there, God willing. Father Murr, we're talking about the precious blood, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Now, Padre Pio once remarked that the world could more readily exist without the Son than without the Eucharist. Yes, what a remarkable statement. So it's imperative, therefore, to take into account what we gain from the great gift of the Holy Eucharist in our lives, and also what we lose, I might add, to the terrible effects of not adoring Jesus, not receiving Jesus in the Eucharist. So I asked you to talk a little bit about devotion to the precious blood, since this is the month of July dedicated to the precious blood.
Sure. I guess I would start this way. We have a great number of people in the world who call themselves Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that's all wonderful. We have a great number of people in the world who call themselves Catholics.
Sure.
Catholics are Christians. I get a kick out of this when, especially when a Protestant will begin a conversation and you're trying to be amicable, and,
yeah,
and he'll say, are you a Catholic? And I said, yes, I'm Catholic. I said, and are you Catholic? He said, no, I'm Christian.
It's always a
chuckle. What do you mean you're Christian? I said, so am I. We understand that, but what, you know, anyway, that it's a slight insight.
Yeah.
What they begin with is always this: the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture, Scripture, Scripture. And that's wonderful, and it's part of our tradition. As a matter of fact, what irks me just a little bit,
sure,
is when people outside of the Catholic Church try to tell us what our first Catholic bishops wrote.
Yeah, right.
it's sort of like getting a letter from home and your bunkmate is going to tell you what your mother really meant.
<That's cute. laughs>
Right?
Yeah, I get it.
Anyway, and besides, there was no Scripture of the New Testament anyway,
right,
until probably around the year 300, 325.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't put together. What did the church have? What did the church have? The church had the Eucharist.
Amen.
The church had the Eucharist from its institution at the Last Supper all the way through to today. I'm about to offer Holy Mass in right after this program.
Sure.
This is what the church has. And this is what Christ himself left us. And I'm, believe me, I'm not trying to denigrate,
mm-hmm,
sacred scripture. I don't mean that at all.
Right.
Because it's the Word of God, and it's,
sure,
inspired, and we live by it. However, I just remind us that our Lord did not come to write a book.
Nope.
He didn't come to write a bestseller. He didn't tell anybody that he knew to write this down. Can you imagine turning to St. Matthew and say, Maddie, get this down. Make sure you get this down. Write this.
Keep talking, Father. That's
he didn't
it.
Do that.
Keep
he
going.
He didn't do that, but he left us his body and blood. We'll get back to that.
No, no. Father, keep going. I think this is a malfunction right now. Let me see if I can get the engineer to take care of that problem. There it goes.
Right.
Go ahead, Father.
There we go. Oh, I thought that was your...
No, we still got... I want to give you... We still got about 8 minutes.
Telling me to stop.
No, go ahead. You're talking about the Eucharist. Go ahead. I love talking about Jesus. Source and summit of the Christian life.
All I'm saying is this. I'm making a distinction. Yeah. I'm making a distinction between what Christ said was absolutely important.
Yes.
And what he never said was all that important. Okay?
Well said.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
He left us the Eucharist, and he did say when he instituted, he said, do this. Repeat this. Do it. Right?
Right.
And the church has done this, the Eucharist, daily, since its institution.
Well said.
Up to now. Right?
Yep.
Why? Because our Lord was very, very concerned that we have enough to eat.
Wow. Exactly. And you know, Father Murr, I know that the church teaches the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. I want to recommend, as your spiritual fitness trainer, I do this every day. I get an hour before the Blessed Sacrament to pray, to try and take up those rays, as Bishop Sheen would say, just spend an hour a day. Even if you can do it once a week, I would recommend our listeners, try it. You're going to find that it will change your life. Because what happens is when you're before our Eucharistic throne of Jesus in the Eucharist, you can be praying the rosary, you can read scripture, but you know what I recommend for everybody to do at least a good portion of the time? Sit there and talk to Jesus personally as you would a friend. And I believe that the graces that you receive through Eucharistic adoration will support you and your family. So that's my recommendation as an action item to do. And matter of fact, like Father Murr, he's going to say Mass right after this show. We have the Blessed Sacrament here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. There are people right now praying the Stations of the Cross, because I made a little visit before the show. And why are they doing that? To get closer to Christ. Because the Bible said it clearly, Father, in John 6, unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. My flesh is real food. My blood is real drink. So I want to recommend to all of us as Catholics to have a renewed interest in the Blessed Sacrament, because I'm going to be honest, Father, and maybe you can correct me, but I think, as Fulton Sheen said back in 76, the de-Eucharization that's going on, and it's happened in our church, and we have less people being reverent before the Blessed Sacrament. And I'm going to recommend again that when you receive Holy Communion, if you can kneel or genuflect, make an outward sign, and receive on the tongue, I would recommend that you would do that, because of the abuses that have gone on through people stealing hosts out of Catholic churches because of communion in the hand. All right, Father, I brought up something that was politically incorrect, but I feel strong about this. What are your thoughts about the de-Eucharization that's happened in our church today? That's a big one.
I agree with you. No, it's not. No. It is. Of course it is. But I mean, I wouldn't disagree with you on one point.
Well,
you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And here's another thing.
Tell me.
You know, I'm a priest almost 45 years.
Wow.
I look back. I saw what was happening.
Wow.
I saw what was happening. Like Sheen is talking.
Yes.
We were awake. There were a lot of us who were awake.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the Germans in great part. Pardon me for generalizing, okay?
Yes.
They weren't just the Germans. They were also the Dutch and the Netherlanders.
Sure.
That part of the church that really, truly was hit heavy,
yes,
by the Protestant Reformation and had to live with the consequences.
Yes.
And their neighbors were Protestants, all right?
Yep.
All right. And they had wars over it,
mm-hmm,
and brother killed brother over it. I understand all of that. So they're coming from a different place. But when they came to the Second Vatican Council, they came with an agenda.
Yes,
and that agenda was to become, you can say it theologically in different language and make it softer, if you will. I'm just going to say what it was. That agenda was to make things more Protestant.
Yeah, I agree with you.
They wanted. All right. And they succeeded.
And they succeeded.
And one of the major things that had to become more Protestant, let me put it this way, more Protestantly understood for them was the Eucharist. In other words, we as Catholics stopped inviting people to come up to a deeper, higher understanding, deeper and higher, imagine at the same time, understanding of the Eucharist. And we decided, all right, let's go to where they are. And how do you get down real quick? Well, you make things banal. You banalize them.
That's right.
And the banalization of the Eucharist came when anyone could touch the Eucharist. And listen to this, Terry.
I believe it.
How crazy these times were.
Yeah.
It was still in canon law, a sacrilege.
Yep.
Let me repeat that.
That was the 1917 code? Mm-hmm.
A sacrilege. The 1917 code, it could have been in 1717. Mm-hmm. It was still in effect.
Yes.
That code of law was still in effect, and it was a sacrilege for anyone other than a priest or deacon and bishop to touch the Holy Eucharist, to touch under pain of mortal sin.
That's powerful.
Now, all right, that was still in standing when they decided to go ahead and give permission to have communion in the hand.
Yep, the indult. Yep. It's crazy.
It's incredible.
It's and you know, Father, let me just jump in one quick note.
Done.
Yeah.
Yes, sure.
Just one quick note. 1965, during all that crummy stuff that was going on, Pope Paul VI did a document called Mysterium Fide because he saw what was going on with the Eucharist, and he reaffirmed our traditional teachings on the Eucharist. But, Father, I just wanted to make that point. I would recommend people to read that document because you're absolutely right. When that indult came in, I remember as a young man, I saw Canada do it first, and I said, that's crazy. Why? That's just going to undermine the real belief of the presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And guess what, Father? Not many people still believe in the real presence. And this is my lay approach. I believe when they gave Holy Communion in the hand, it brought it down to ordinary food, and people didn't get the connection that it was the real body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. Continue, Father. I just wanted to throw that in.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. It became something not special.
Yeah. Terrible.
It's just that simple. It became banalized.
Yes.
Right? That's it. Sheen talks about in one of his retreats for priests.
Yes.
And I saw this. I saw this myself.
What's that?
I saw somebody come into a jeweler shop with rubies and emeralds.
Really?
I don't know if there were diamonds among them.
Yeah.
And pour them out on top of the countertop on the glass.
Wow.
And I'm standing there watching. He wanted something made. And he wanted these encrusted in them. I knew that they meant nothing to him.
Yeah.
And you're talking about, we call these precious gems.
Yes.
I knew that they meant nothing to him. I knew immediately, just the way he treated them,
yes,
that he inherited them. He didn't work for them.
Yeah, of course.
He didn't pay for any one of these. They didn't cost him anything. They had no real value.
Got it.
Why? Because I saw the way he treated them.
Wow.
All right? Now,
Father, we've got 20 seconds left. The music did not come on, okay. So go ahead. Wrap it up. I'm all ears.
Oh, well, I'm wrapping it up.
All right, Father.
If we would start treating things as what they really are,
yeah,
be better.
Yeah. Father, how about a quick blessing for all of us? We'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. Benedictio Dei, Omnipotens, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti,
Amen.
Descendat super vos, et manet in aeternum, Amen.
Amen. We have Deacon next up on the Virgin Most Powerful.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, May the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.